Spain versus the Netherlands, and Chile against Australia. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation, supporting the New Americans campaign and all their partners promoting citizenship. More at greatimmigrants.carnegie.org. This is Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. And joining us each Friday morning at this time is Jeff Shapiro with his analysis of Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Wayne. By the way, Mark Keem, who's a state legislator from Northern Virginia, posted the following on Twitter at about 5:45 this morning, and I quote, "It's only fitting that crazy roller coaster of a week in Virginia politics ends on a Friday the 13th.
Well, two huge stories this week. Eric Cantor's stunning upset in the Republican primary. We'll talk about that in a moment. About how and why almost no one saw it coming. But first, the state budget standoff was finally broken through by the resignation of a Democratic state senator, shifting control to the Republicans.
And all of this, Cantor, that departure, action on the budget, and some important subsidiary issues, all are of a piece. The budget is on its way to Governor McAuliffe, almost 5 hours late. It was passed last night by the House and Senate, and it includes a prohibition on one-on expansion of, or one-on additional expansion of Obamacare by unilateral action, you know, executive action by Governor McAuliffe. This is a very important reminder of several things. One, there is that new majority, that new Republican majority in the Senate because of the surprise resignation of Phil Puckett, a Democrat from Southwest Virginia, the only Democrat in the legislature west of Roanoke. This budget is considerably lighter, about $1.5 billion lighter because of a very precipitous decline or anticipated decline in state revenue. One of the reasons the Assembly needed to act, not just because we were heading towards that fiscal cliff, June 30th, without a budget, but because rainy day funds, emergency dollars, would have been off limits to the governor, legislators argued, unless the legislature acted on a budget.
You have written and talked about signs of discontent in the Republican rank and file in Majority Leader Cantor's district, but the primary victory of David Brett has been called one of the greatest upsets in modern political history. What's your take after a few days after that great upset?
This is the first time a House Majority Leader has been denied the nomination of his party since that office was started in the late 19th century. I don't know that anyone wasn't surprised. I know I certainly was. I believe the Brat people, it can safely be said, weren't expecting to defeat Cantor, but were hoping to at least embarrass him, diminish him somewhat, and perhaps derail his ambitions for Speaker. But I suspect part of the problem here for Mr. Cantor is that as he scaled the greasy pole of power, the distance, literal and figurative, between himself and his constituents grew. If you look at these returns, the Cantor base absolutely collapsed. Dave Brat carried Henrico, Chesterfield, Hanover. This is the suburban anchor of the 7th Congressional District, a district that was made to order for Eric Cantor. Clearly a reminder that a politician must tend to his or her knitting. Now this Cantor defeat coming ahead of this meeting of the legislature to wrap up action on the budget and to address this issue of expanded Obamacare, that defeat clearly steeled the resolve of Republicans to make things as difficult as possible for Terry McAuliffe on Medicaid expansion. A lot of legislators, a lot of Republican legislators sitting down in the well of the House and the Senate the other night wondering, could they be the next casualty of a brat-like attack in a primary or a convention from the right?
Another indication of former Governor Bob McDonnell's legacy being chipped away, a state judge, I think it's important to note that it was a state circuit judge in Norfolk, not a federal judge, ruled that the statewide school division enacted during McDonald's term to take over failing schools statewide, that is unconstitutional.
Yes, the McDonald legacy, of course, given Giftgate, is largely his legislative agenda, given Giftgate, is largely overshadowed. But there's been erosion, for example, in that transportation fix, that tax-fattened transportation fix of his. This is a big blow. It's one that obviously will be fought over and discussed for some time. But the judge in Norfolk making it very clear that it is local government's responsibility to tend to these schools, not the state government's. What we don't know at this point is what the McAuliffe administration is going to do about this, whether it would appeal, and the larger issue of what can be done with these substandard schools in places like Norfolk and Northern Virginia, even in Petersburg. These were schools that were threatened with takeover by the state. That issue still must be resolved.
This might seem an inside journalism story to some, but we haven't had a chance yet to talk about the death of crusading editor Ray Boone of the Richmond Free Press, an advocate of the African-American community, but not a predictable supporter of African-American leaders or their policies.
It is safe to say that Ray Boone was quite feisty. He delighted in being so. His offices are just next door to the Times-Dispatch, and he believes strongly in holding accountable the establishment, black and white, and that included often pokes at the editorial pages, the often conservative editorial stance of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Yes, and as I say, not always supporting policies of people like Doug Wilder or Dwight Jones or even Bobby Scott, as Scott himself acknowledged this week.
And if you look at the most recent fight over the stadium, there were some concerns expressed by Mr. Boone on his editorial page.
Yes. Well, a loss to journalism, I think we can agree. Well, our time's gone for today, Jeff, so we'll talk to you again next Friday morning to hear your analysis of Virginia political news.
Have a great weekend.
This is 88.9 WCVE. Portions of WCVE's programming are made possible by the New Community School honoring the graduates of the class of 2014. New Community empowers bright students who think and learn differently.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne, and this was the sound when Brazil won its first